Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Illumination Station, and I'm Aphrodite Norris. I'm so happy to have the show tonight. We have a special two-hour program for you out there, and I'm hoping you're really going to enjoy it. My partner, Jacqueline, I think has been a little delayed because I haven't seen her show up in the queue yet. But as we talk about our show tonight, the first hour, we're going to be taking some live calls, and we're going to be taking a look at your astrological chart and kind of seeing how your future is going to unfold. We ask you to have your birth date, time, and place ready for us, and one profound question that we can take a look at your chart and see what's going down. In the meantime, I want to tell you a couple of interesting things that are going on cosmically. We have some planetary changes that have been afoot, and more are coming. It's a very exciting time. As a matter of fact, there are several planetary changes that are going to take place between now and the end of the first week of July, which is going to be very uplifting for this summer as far as social energy, communication ability, these types of things that are going to be happening here. And Jupiter, the planet of good fortune and abundance, just entered Gemini. And Jupiter is in a sign for a year every 12. And so it's been 12 years since Jupiter decided to go into Gemini. And the nice thing about it is that this being the information age, a lot of information is going to be everywhere. And there's a lot of planetary shifts that are going to aid and abet that over the next 3 weeks. Venus, the planet of love, the lesser benefic of the zodiac, is in Gemini right now, but it's retrograde or appears to be moving backwards. And as we talked about before on the air, Venus, for the first time in many years, actually passed between the Earth and the Sun, was visible all over the Internet, saw some beautiful photos. And Venus is going to be retrograde until the 27th of June, and then it's going to go direct also. So that's going to open up a lot of communication about love and appreciation. Right now, while it's retrograde, it's a great time to have a reunion, reconnect with people that you love, and maybe haven't taken the time to pick up the phone or send an email or show up at their front door. And Saturn, the great teacher of the zodiac, is exalted in Libra, and it's been retrograde for several months now, and it's getting ready to go direct on the 25th of this month and start to move forward. So if you've been waiting for contracts to happen, to make peace with someone, to bring things to a justful closing, it's more apt to happen at the end of this month all the way into October with Saturn. And Mars, a planet of action, blood, war, libido, and passion, and also our tempers, by the way, has been in Virgo for a very long time. It's still in Virgo now, but it's going to be going into Libra the first week of July as well. So we're going to have a lot of air available in the heavens, which is going to allow us to analyze, make peace, and really listen to what other people have to say, their advice, their experiences, and drawing upon that, we can execute greater wisdom as we move forward towards this summer. Well, I haven't seen Jacqueline sign on just yet, and we have three callers holding in the queue, so I'm going to take first, which is how we do things here. Good evening. This is the Illumination Station. How can I help you?
Hello, Aphrodite. Hello. How are you?
How are you? I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm okay.
What can I do for you this evening?
Hello?
Hello?
What can I do for you this evening?
Hi, I would like to ask, when you get finances improving for me, I had a pretty good interview last week. And I know things are at a standstill, Venus retrograde, so I know something won't be in movement for another few weeks.
Okay. Now, what's your name? I know I've done you before.
This is Lena.
Okay, Lena, I thought so, but I wanted to be sure. My phone is not very clear to me. I don't know why. This is usually a pretty good phone. Now, and when is your birthday?
March 7th, 1962.
And 12:03 p.m. in Islip, New York, right?
Correct.
And you're living down south now, aren't you?
I'm in Boca Raton, Florida.
Boca Raton. My old stomping
ground. It's hot today.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's take a look at your chart. I want to relocate you so that we have the houses in the right position. I want to take a look at your sixth house of work and service. Now, did you apply for a job or did you apply for an executive kind of position?
I'm just applying anywhere after that because my money really is really bad right now.
Okay, all right. Now, is this the first time that you applied to this particular company?
Yes, they called me back and they said they wanted me to come back next week for a second interview, but the owner's on vacation another week, so I don't know.
Okay. So actually, what's going on is right in alignment with Venus, because Venus is going direct at the last week of the month, and for them to call you back, that's perfect. Venus retrograde, they make the call back, you see. That's right on time, and Venus in your chart is opposing and attracting to your sixth house of work and service, okay? So I would feel more optimistic about the situation. Venus is also forming a nice trine or blessing line to your natal Saturn in Aquarius. Now, what would you be doing on the job?
Doing accounting work.
Okay, so you'd be working behind the scenes and you'd be crunching numbers, right?
Yeah.
Working with other people's resources, that looks really good.
I've worked in real estate.
Yeah. Well, I know you have a really good work record, yeah.
So I'm just like, it's a little further than I would like to travel. But I can always change later on.
Yeah, exactly. And the nice thing is, I was talking about when we first signed on, is Saturn's also going direct into this month, too. And it is forming a beautiful trine to your ascendant, okay, or your natural soul vibration. And because that's also going to be trining your Mars, which is about work and service, and Jupiter, the planet of good fortune, in the ninth house. And the ninth house would indicate that, again, it would be a little bit more of a drive, okay? It's almost like each drive could be a little bit of an adventure, okay? But I really think I'm feeling pretty positive about this one, Lena.
Are you? Okay. I hope so, because I'm at my wit's end right now. I don't know what else.
Exactly. And the other thing is that over the next week, Mars is still in Virgo, and it's going to be opposing your Venus almost exactly. And sometimes when that happens, you are given the opportunity or the offer of the position. So I think the lining up for this. Absolutely. I'm looking at the whole chart. I'm trying to take it all in here, and I'm thinking much more positive than negative about this one. It seems like all the planets are lining up. We even have the new moon coming in on Monday. That's also very good for your chart. So I'm thinking that, you know, I would really try and be, you know, think more positive about this, put out the love and light, call in all the guardian angels, okay? It looks like it's coming together here.
Okay, so maybe they won't wait for the owner.
Exactly. That could be pretty good. I'm very excited for you. Well, please keep in touch and let me know how it works out for you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, God bless. That was pretty exciting. Lena's been calling in just about every time we're on the air, and she has really been beating feet and looking at all job opportunities. And it's been difficult with some of the retrogrades. Things get delayed, but sometimes these delays work in our favor, where, you know, the job that we thought we were going to get wouldn't be the ideal for us. And so we're put on hold for a little while, and then something greater does come up. I'm ready to take my next caller. Good evening. You're on the air. This is the Illumination Station. How can I help you?
Hello?
Hi. How are you doing tonight? This is Aphrodite.
Hey, Aphrodite. It's Jay calling from Canada. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm hanging in there. Jacqueline hasn't signed on yet. She might have gotten delayed. But anyway, I figured I'd start taking a few callers. And now you're born 3/24/64.
Yeah, so good memory.
11:54 p.m. in Medicine Hat. Now, but you don't live in Medicine Hat anymore, if I remember correctly.
No, I live in Edmonton.
Say it again for me.
I live in Edmonton.
Edmonton, that's right. Okay. Just want to make sure that we're on the same page here. How do you spell that?
Edmonton.
Ah, Okay. Now, got it. Beautiful. So what can I do for you tonight? What did you want me to look at the most?
I'm just looking at the charts because my boss went on holidays for 2 weeks, and he put me on probation for another month, which aligns that. Right after he comes back, he may let me go or keep me on. So I just wonder what the charts are saying about that.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Now, the first thing I want to tell you is within the next month, Venus is going direct, Saturn is going direct, Mars is moving into Libra. So you've got some good changes that are going on here. Now, what do you actually do on the job?
I'm a technician.
Oh, okay. All right, so you're working in the high-tech industry. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Saturn's making all good aspects right now. Venus, when it goes direct, is also going to be... it's going to be causing you a little bit of stress, though. There've been a lot of changes going on in that company.
Quite a bit in our department.
There seems to be a lot of frustration, and the communication seems to be a bit garbled. But I think with Mars moving into Libra, it's going to be much better than it has been. Okay? Now, I want to look at something here. When they say they're putting you on probation, is it because the job is fairly new for you?
Oh, yeah, it's fairly new, but it's extra.
Okay.
They put me on for an extra month in probation.
Okay. All right. Well, you really don't have any planetary energy in Aquarius, and your part of dismissal and resignation lies at 9 degrees of Aquarius in 2 minutes. And I don't see any planets basically triggering that area for you right now. So I feel you're pretty safe.
Okay.
So I would hang in there. I think, again, the delay might just be because of the things that are still being restructured within the company. I think it's more circumstantial than personal. Okay?
Well, if I get like that?
I think it's more circumstantial that it's just been delayed, the probation thing. Yeah.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Now, do you really love this job?
Yeah, it's actually pretty nice. It's actually pretty good, so...
Okay. Yeah. And you're able to use your creative imagination, right?
Sort of. It's with computers, so.
Well, you have to be a little bit intuitive with electronics. I'm finding that out.
Yeah, you do.
So I'm certainly not the guru that you are, trust me. Technology has its challenges for me some days. But Mars is passing over your midheaven, and because Mars is passing over your midheaven, I see you working hard, I see you being appreciated, and all that. And I think that, again, the company's going to kind of come in for a soft landing, I think, in the middle of July. So I think that some of the things that they've been working on have just made, you know, some decisions go into delay. But I'm not really feeling that you should be threatened by this at all.
Okay. I'm just curious about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, that's great news.
Well, I am so glad that you called in. And keep in touch and let us know how it all works out.
Sure, I will. Thank you very much for everything.
All right,
you're a great astrologer. So. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. All right. Good night now.
Good night.
Night. That was really fun. This is the Illumination Station. We have a few callers in queue already. We're doing live readings. If you'd like to have a reading done with one profound question, please have your birth date, time, and place ready for me. I'll be happy to look at your chart and see how things are unfolding for you. Our guest call-in number is 213-286-6741. And I think I'm ready to take our next caller. Good evening. This is the Illumination Station.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, this is the Illumination Station. How can I help you?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for taking my call. My name is Brandy.
Your name is Brandy.
And my birthday is 1/27/77.
And what time were you born?
1/27 p.m.
And where?
In Fort Worth, Texas.
Fort Worth, Texas. Okay. Get you my computer real quick here. All those 2 7s and 2 7s, huh? That's something in your birth information.
I know.
It's kind of cute, actually. Where do you live now?
I'm still in Forest right now.
You are. You make it sound like you're ready to jump ship.
Oh, I am. I really am.
Oh, boy. All right, let's take a look and see. Okay, now where were you thinking of taking off to and why?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Well, first thing that I want to tell you is that you do not have any major planets transiting your ninth house for a distant relocation. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't have any major planets transiting your third house for a near relocation. So I'm not necessarily
mm-hmm.
seeing a relocation in your near future.
Okay?
Okay. Unless you were doing it for love. If you were doing it for love, I could see you doing it anyway.
Right.
Okay. So, if you were, could dream of a place you'd like to be, where would it be?
I'm still not sure yet.
Okay. Well, you're not supposed to be making any major decisions about this right now. You know that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it just feels like nothing's really moving forward right now. Does it look like on my chart it will be soon?
Yes. And, well, at the beginning of the show, I don't know if you had tuned in yet, Venus is going to be going direct the last week of the month. So is Saturn, the great teacher of the zodiac, to help you reestablish. Those two planets are moving forward in the heavens within 2 days of each other. So
mm-hmm.
pretty much July, that first week of July, when Mars moves into Libra, I have a feeling that a lot of doors are going to start to open for you. I think you just have to wait this one out. And I think it's a good idea to look into all possibilities, but I think that all the possibilities you look into, you're going to feel that they lack that element of perfection. You're going to believe, think that maybe your intuition is telling you, I'm not so sure about that, okay? Now, you seem to be the kind of person, you know, you even though you're very visionary in one aspect, you can be frighteningly practical at times, okay?
Right.
And
I mean, to the point that I think, I'm sure you put other people at bay. You know, you had both Mercury and your Mars in Capricorn. Now, what do you do for work?
Right now, I'm trying to create a business in holistic healing, but I'm not actually working for anyone right now.
Okay, all right. The holistic healing thing sounds wonderful. What modalities
do you
practice?
Yeah, but it's not making any money. It's not really making any money right now. So.
Okay. Well, the nice thing about this summer, which I was talking about earlier in the show, is that because we're going to have Mars moving into Libra the first week of July, Saturn going direct in Libra, Venus going direct in Gemini, okay, and Jupiter being in Gemini the first time in 12 years for a full year, all this Gemini energy, all this air has to do with the way that the business is being marketed, okay? It has to do with the way that it's communicated to the public. It has to do with the options that you give to people, the choices that you give people to work with them as individuals, which you're very good at because you're an Aquarian sun. You're a staunch individualist. I know that. And and you have just so much compassion in your chart with that beautiful Venus you have in Pisces. So I feel that a lot of this has to do with marketing, and you're going to try and market smart, because I'm seeing that you're going to watch so that you're not taken advantage of as far as the financial end of things. So you basically, what you need to do is you do need to get the party going, though. There's a lot of free vehicles that are available for marketing, and I think that those are things that even though the planets are retrograde now, you can go back and take a look at how often you show up, for instance, on the Internet if you're advertising locally. Okay, if you have a mailing list, when you tell people that specials are available for different healing modalities, if you have and plan a fair once or twice a month for people to come in and have mini sessions to try it out and see what they think. But I think all of these ideas, these are things that you need to write down on paper because of the retrogrades, because you can think about it and get some really great ideas, but you need to jot them down. Okay?
Yeah.
But I think it's really a marketing issue.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there a reason why things have felt like they've been on hold for like 3 years now?
Well, 3 year energy, unfortunately, has to do with the major influences of two ponderous planets. Okay, Pluto, the planet of power, life, death, and rebirthing, which entered Capricorn about 3 years ago, and it had not been there since the Revolutionary War. Okay. And then we had Uranus, the planet of surprises and catastrophe and a desire to be liberated, okay, and not to be cautious. That planet went into Aries. These two planets are above us as we're speaking, and they're in conflict with each other. So part of us wants to be conservative and do everything, you know, in such a way that we don't lose, because in, you know, in 07, we had a problem with the finances and stuff and everything, you know, globally, and that's still going on right now. So people are trying to watch their dollars, but sometimes they just say, I don't care, I have to go for it, and that's that Uranus and Aries energy. So because these two planets have been doing the dance, it's either you're in, like, lockdown mode or you're in freedom mode, and there's not too much in between.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like I want to do one thing, but I can't.
Exactly. And I think that because these are planets of process that are going to basically be doing the dance all year, this year and part of next year, you need to deal more with events than process. In other words, if you start to create some events, each event will give you that bump that you need to keep going. And then you'll be able to try out certain things, and you'll see which things work. So eventually what you're going to get is you're going to get momentum. So even though the long-term process is still going to vacillate a bit, the events can keep you going, and they keep you being very creative as far as the way that you are putting out your precious gifts to the public. Okay? Like, for instance, I've been trying doing new fairs. I've been doing some new events myself. I took on the radio show, which I think is really fun for people because it's free and it's fun and it gives them useful information. So I'm doing different things to stimulate, again, the interest in metaphysics and the alternative modalities for healing and well-being. We're having a wonderful guest on the second hour of the show who is a coach. She's an artist. She's a hypnotherapist. She's just got a tremendous amount of gifts. And so she's going to be coming on and talking about how wonderful these things are. And I think to get more connected with people maybe involved in the metaphysical community where you live in Fort Worth might also bear fruit for you, to have gatherings of different types at this time.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
That sounds good then. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so glad you called in.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye now. Well, that was really fun. Another healer calling in. Seem to be everywhere these days. It's wonderful to see. And I have another caller on hold, so I'm going to take my next caller. Good evening. This is the Illumination Station. How can I help you? Hello, you're on the air. Hi, how are you?
Oh, hi.
You're on the
air. I'm sorry. I didn't
know
you were talking to me. My birthday is May 19th. 1968.
And where were you born?
Salt Lake City, Utah, at 1:12 a.m.
Ah, kept mom up all night, did you? What's your name?
Athena.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you. And I'm living in Jordan now.
Jordan, what state?
Jordan, the country next to Israel and Egypt and in the Middle East.
Oh, okay. All right, got it.
Yeah.
Because Jordan is, there's also many cities in the United States, Jordan, too. That's why I
know. Every time I Google stuff about Jordan, I always get West Jordan in Salt Lake.
Okay. So what question did you have for me tonight?
Well, you know, I was listening a lot to what you were saying about the last call, and my ascendant and my moon, or my rising, I don't know, I have double Aquarius also. So I was wondering if that's the same kind of information for me with doing events. You know, focusing.
All right, I need for you to tell me exactly how I can put in your current location so I can get it up on the system for me.
Earbid Jordan, IRCID.
Got it. Thank you so much. See, when you moved there, your ascendant completely changed. It flipped about 180 degrees.
Oh.
Okay? In your chart in Jordan, you have 1 degree of Leo and 14 minutes on the ascendant.
Oh, what does that mean?
Well, it's, instead of having an Aquarius ascendant, you have a Leo ascendant now, and your moon is in the 8th house, at 29 degrees on the cusp of Pisces, right?
Oh.
Yeah. And your sun, of course, is at 28 degrees of Taurus. So what happens is you have two great lights, your moon and your sun, on the cusp, which means that your moon, although it's at 29 degrees of Aquarius, is so close to Pisces, you're going to blend those two energies. You're going to blend your desire to be very humane, okay, with your desire to be compassionate with your moon, which is really beautiful. And then your sun is in Taurus on the cusp of Gemini. So the Taurus energy wants to be practical, wants to see real fruits from the gifts that you offer to others. And the Gemini side of your cusp usually indicates you're best off promoting yourself rather than having somebody else promote you. Okay? And your Leo rising is on the cusp. It's on the Cancer-Leo cusp, which the Cancer part, there's times you probably want to hide and, you know, make cookies, but the Leo part of you wants to go out and knock them dead.
Yeah.
Okay? So you have a lot of diversity because the three major power points in your chart in the Jordan area, they offer you such diversity that you could probably speak to anybody, anytime, any place, and have a table of understanding. It's just marvelous.
Yeah, if I can speak Arabic.
Oh, beautiful. Wow. You're really talented. So
no,
what are you trying to, what are you trying to promote right now?
Well, I'm an artist, but I'm also a humanitarian, so I would like to do something to help people, women and children. But I feel very blocked. I have a husband who, since we have moved here, blocks my progress of everything. And it's kind of one of my questions. Do I just try and kind of brush him off and continue on my way? Or would I, do I need to end the relationship? Does it say anything about relationships?
When is your husband's birthday?
November 1st. He's a Scorpio, 1974.
Okay.
Born in Jordan. In Irvine.
Okay. Well, you know, opposites attract in the zodiac, and you have both your sun and your Venus in Taurus, and he is a Scorpio sun. And I don't really see you. How long have you lived in Jordan?
Almost 3 years, and I've been married 16.
Okay. Well, your part of divorce in Jordan lies at 19 degrees of Scorpio, I think. Wait, let me look again. Yes, 19 degrees of Scorpio. And right now you don't have anything sitting on that star. Okay. Sorry.
What is, say that again. I didn't get that.
Your ancient Arabic part of divorce sits at 19 degrees of Scorpio. And right now, there's no planet sitting on that star. So I can't tell you, dump him. I can't tell you that, okay? But I think what's going on here is I think that you do need to get going because I feel that the way that you've been feeling is also affecting the relationship, okay? And with Venus retrograde sitting right on your Mars, this is a time that you need to renegotiate with him, okay? It's only going to be retrograde until the 27th of this month. So my feeling is now is the time to renegotiate certain things, okay? And I do feel there has been quite a bit of stress here as far as the communications are concerned, hasn't there?
Yeah, always so.
Yep. I really think that it's important for you to pursue your heart's desire, and I think that you're going to need to do that. But I don't necessarily feel that you need to eliminate him to make that happen. I just think that you need to just, you know, roll up your sleeves, set your mind on what you want to do, because you can be a very strong-minded individual, okay?
Yeah.
And I would move forward with your dream and stuff, and like I said, you've been in a holding pattern because of these retrogrades, but most of this heaviness we've been feeling is about to lift off over the next few weeks. So it's a time to just reassert yourself into what you really want to do. Now, are there centers there that offer help for women and children? Like you desire to be involved with a center of that nature? Is there a center there that you could get affiliated with?
No, that's why I would like to start one.
So you want to create one? Okay. Now, do you think you could get other people interested in creating it with you so that you would basically have some seed money?
You know, I can get probably foreign investors, but my big thing is, although I can be a leader, I really like to work with other people. I don't want to take on all of that myself because I know that it would just drown me. And so I'm just always searching for other people to work with, and I haven't found any like minds at all, and that's kind of my problem, why I haven't moved forward.
Okay. I think it is going to be easier once Saturn and Mars move forward, but I would start already preparing, you know, some information that might be available via, like, the Internet. and go on and saying, you know, looking for like-minded individuals to create a center for those in need. You know, please call this number. I would go ahead and I'd start to put it out there in a medium where people can get in touch with you. And you have the ability to screen them and talk to them. But I think, again, if you don't put it out there in a way that people can respond to you, you are going to be pretty much left out there all on your own. And I think it's better if you have a team, even if a foreign investor takes an interest in it, at least you have a startup team to present as far as the business plan is concerned. Okay? And, again, I'm talking practical, so I know you have a lot of practicality in your soul as well.
No, that's a good point. I never thought about putting an ad. I just keep looking for people physically, you know, without, like, putting an ad on the Internet.
And I think that once you start to make things cook and stuff, I have a feeling that your Scorpio husband would see, you know, that this does have tremendous potential. And, of course, we both know the need is always there, you and I. So I think that it's important for you to take another deep breath and just try to attach yourself to it from a way that opens up the doors of other people that have been feeling that is missing and it needs to be provided. I mean, just about in every country in the world right now, there's been economic stresses where a lot of government-funded programs and things like that were available for people in need have had to go to this wayside. And that's why I think the private sector, people that want to invest in things, want to get something moving and helping other people, this is coming of age. This is the year it's going to start to really happen. I think you'd get more feedback than right now you envision.
Perfect. Well, thank you for explaining the planets. That really enlightened me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so happy you called in. Check in and let me know how you're doing.
I will. Thanks a lot.
All right. God bless.
You too. God bless.
Bye-bye. That was really interesting from an international perspective. You know, there's humane people everywhere and people that want to heal and want to help and want to give their insight. And that's one of the things I love about doing this show. I think I'm ready to take our next caller. Good evening. This is the Illumination Station. How can I help you? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is the Illumination Station. How can I help you tonight?
Hi. My name is Tony, and my date of birth is 11/13/75. And just that you can tell me as far as my planets, do any change for me.
Now, do you know what time you were born?
Not exactly. I know it was in the evening, like around 7.
And where were you born?
I was born in Brownsville, Texas.
Can you spell the name for me?
Like the color brown.
Okay.
S D.
My connection's a little fuzzy.
I know. I can hear the echo.
I'm sorry.
Hello.
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Sometimes it's because the phone is too close and all this stuff, but I've tried a million things. So.
Okay.
All right. So is there one main question that you had to ask me about tonight?
Yes, there is something that's really bugging me. It's in regards to a person.
Oh, another person. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Now, do you still live in Brown, Texas?
No. I live in the next town.
Oh, okay. So you're pretty close. Now, the other person you're asking about, when is their birthday?
July 2nd of 69. My dog.
And do you know what time they were born?
No, I do not. I didn't mind.
It's okay. I can at least look at the planets. And do you know where they were born?
Harlingen.
Arlington, Virginia?
No, Harlingen. H-A... R L I N G E N.
Texas.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Well, the first thing I see with your chart, you are very, very psychic. Did you know that?
I can be.
I mean, you have three major planets, the vertex and the north node, all in Scorpio. Boy, it's an override, okay? And you have your Mars in Cancer. You've got your moon in Pisces. You've got so much psychic stuff going on in here, it's crazy. But I kind of like it. And now, as far as love is concerned, you can be a very, very passionate woman, but you're also a very compassionate woman, aren't you?
I can be. Yes.
Okay. Now, let's take a look at his chart next to yours and see what's going on here. Okay. Now, he is a Cancer sun, but his sun is not conjunct your Mars, okay? It's too far away, so there's not an active conjunction there. But his north node, or the head of the dragon, sits on your moon, and usually it means that there is some kind of karma between you, and there's some beautiful trines and blessing lines that are here. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, are you more emotional or more logical? How would you rate your emotions?
I would say I'm more emotional.
I do too. Now, most Cancer suns are fairly emotional as well, but this person does not have a lot of planetary energy in Cancer. Their planets are pretty spread out. Aquarian moon, which can sometimes be very detached and a little bit too logical, can cause you some discomfort. Okay? And so you're not always emotionally on the same page because of that. Now, I don't know exactly what degree his Aquarius moon is, because the moon moves 1 degree every 2.5 hours. But what I am seeing here is that you can find it very frustrating sometimes to really get your feelings across to this person. Is that correct?
Yes. He doesn't want to listen. He doesn't listen.
Mm-hmm. Now, is he a talker or is he just very quiet?
Quiet.
Ah, okay.
Even
now, that's very interesting because, see, his Mercury is actually in Gemini, so usually there is a desire to communicate. Let me see if it's blocked in his natal. Yes, it's blocked in his natal. He does not want to talk about problems. He wants just everything to be okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think you're going to have some difficulty with this one. Now, are you together now?
No, we're divorced.
And that's why my feeling is, long-term, this relationship, it's the emotional connection and the view of understanding is not as strong. I can feel that there could be great attraction here. Don't get me wrong about that part. And I think that, again, depending on what you are doing and where you are being, there are times that you can actually really come together. Because I can see there was fun at the very beginning of the relationship, a lot of fun, actually. But I think emotionally the long-term aspects of the relationship, being able to negotiate and work with problems and things that come up, seems to be somewhat absent.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't like dealing with problems.
No. Now, did you want to get back together with him?
Oh, no, he's married, but I mean, I'm trying to communicate because we have a child together.
Oh.
I'm going to mention that was a bond.
Okay. Well, I'm going to suggest to you that it's probably in your best interest to try and do as much independently as you can. Because I really feel if you wait for him to kind of move in and find a solution and help you out and stuff like that, by the time he does, you're so deeply frustrated, all the rules have changed. And I just think that
frustrated.
Yeah, it can be very difficult. So my feeling is that it's really, you know, I wish I could give you an instant solution to this problem, but I really can't. I think that you're always going to have a bit of difficulty with him as far as that negotiation is concerned. Now, looking just at your chart, do you have friends and family that could be very helpful to you as far as your child?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do.
I'd be drawing more upon that than trying to draw upon him. And my feeling is that as long as he's meeting whatever obligations that were set forth when you got the divorce, I think any decisions you can make independently, you're better off doing it that way. If he's not meeting his obligations, that's something that you need to deal with, you know, in a very straightforward fashion, almost, I want to say, a little bit businesslike. He's going to save you a lot of emotional torture. Okay?
You described him to the point. He's very quiet, but very vindictive. He doesn't like to deal with problems. He's just, if his life is going fine right now, he doesn't, he refuses to allow any problems, so he just blocks off the problem part of it.
Right, right.
So that's how
he can be very, very stubborn. Yeah. He can be very, very stubborn.
Yeah, and whatever he say, whatever he does, it's right. He's never wrong.
Never wrong. Oh.
Well, he's one of those.
Sorry.
No,
I wish I had a solution.
To see what you had to tell me, because sometimes I ask myself, this man holds so much anger towards me that to me, I might, like you said, I'm very psychic, and I was in a relationship for 10 years, that sometimes I think that he would reconsider coming back with me.
Right? Yeah, because I can see that there was probably a lot of passion at the very beginning
It was a divorce that we didn't even know. It was something that I wasn't even aware we had issues. Because our lives were going so smooth. I mean, it was such a routine thing going that, you know, it just happened.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But like I said, I think you need to move on and do as much as you can independently. And I would try and honor him. I think, again, the less problems you present him with, the smoother things are going to go with him as far as dealing with your child. Okay?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your feedback.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling in. Keep us informed.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Hello, this is the Illumination Station, and I'm Aphrodite North, and I'm doing some live readings this evening for the first hour. And second hour, we're going to have a special guest, Kanta Bosniak, who's going to come in and talk to us about many diversified things that she's allowed her spirit and her artistic talent to bring her to. Jacqueline has not signed on yet tonight, and I don't know what held her up. I'm sure something came up. She's a very busy woman like me. And so hopefully we will hear from her before the end of the show. But in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and take my next caller. Good evening. This is the Illumination Station. How can I help you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Great, great. What's your name?
My name is Christina.
Christina, pretty name.
Should I give you my last name?
No, you don't have to, unless you want to.
Okay. I don't know. I'll give you my birthday.
Well, I definitely need your birthday.
And, okay, so I'm born on June 6th. 1967.
And what time were you born?
At 11 p.m. in New York, New York. Manhattan, New York.
Okay. And do you still live there?
I do. I live in Brooklyn.
Wow. So you haven't moved away, huh? You're hooked on New York. Is that the deal?
Well, I love travel, and I love all places, but it's just the way things worked out.
Fair deal. So what question did you have for me tonight?
I have one question, a more specific question, and then a more sort of general life direction question.
Okay.
The specific thing, I'm a painter.
Okay.
I'm also doing healing work.
Okay.
Although it's been more, I've been taking a lot of time to try to heal myself lately.
This is a good idea.
Yeah, and I think, listening to other callers, many people are feeling a little bit of that energy right now, sort of feeling a little bogged down, but some higher wisdom has been telling me whatever it feels like, it's a good time to do this, to like work through past stuff, even if it feels like, oh, I've done this before. there's still stuff to be cleared. Is that, you know?
Well, there's a couple of interesting things that's going on in your chart right now. Let me share that with you. See, you are a double Gemini. Okay, you have both your sun and your moon in the sign of Gemini, and you have Capricorn rising. Capricorn rising is a little bit difficult with both the lights in Gemini. Because the Capricorn part of you, you like to be reliable, you like to be practical, you're not afraid to embrace certain responsibilities. But the Gemini part of you, you really want to see both sides of the question. You want to be objective, okay? But mm-hmm. your Mercury's in Cancer, which makes you also a very emotional creature.
Yes.
So a lot of times your logic and your emotions completely disagree, okay? Which
yeah.
makes it a little hard on you. And Venus, mm-hmm. the planet of love, has been retrograde in Gemini, so it is bringing the past back for you right now. It's already passed over your sun, and it's approaching your moon before it goes direct the end of the month. So this is a time for you also, I'm going to encourage you, to reconnect with people that have known you for a long period of time, because sometimes they can see the changes in you better than you can. Okay? And they can help you to analyze things. If they're good friends, you can sit down, meet them for lunch, have a chat, and they'll say, wow, you never used to do this, you never used to do that, you look so good, whatever. But they can give you the kind of feedback that helps to feed into your inner dialogue, if you will. Okay?
Interesting.
Now, Neptune, the planet of dreams, illusion, and faith, and artistic talent, hasn't been in Pisces for 165 years. It just popped in there a couple months ago. And right now, it's also retrograde, bringing back the past for you, and it's in direct square with your moon, your inner child right now, okay?
Oh, boy, that's interesting, because I've been doing a lot of work around that.
Yes, yes. So it is a time to be around people that can can be very mentally your equal, but also be around people who are different, that can laugh and play like a child again. You kind of lost that somewhere along the line. And I think it's important for you to let yourself out to play maybe more than you allow.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I actually live very close to my – I live in a house with my family.
Okay.
And while it's both beneficial, I mean, it's you know, like everything, two sides. It's interesting, I think, that I'm needing to connect with other people more. I had met a lot of new people, but I'm definitely going through something about, like, one foot in the past, one foot in the future. And
you're right on time.
Yeah. So I guess my question is, my instinct, I can feel this even with my creative work, which I'm very creative. Like, I do a lot of different things. Usually I'm working on several projects at once. I've been trying to care about
all that Gemini. That's why.
Right,
yeah.
But I've been feeling a little out of, like I've been clearing sort of practical things out of the way.
Yes.
And doing a lot of healing work, and almost like I haven't been able to sort of get back to my creative work.
Well, I think that this month should be dedicated to yourself.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good to just confirm that, because there's a little part of me that feels like, oh, I'm going to be seen as I'm being selfish, but some other part of me is telling me this is really important right now. I'm a little burned out. And
I think over the next 2 months, Jupiter's only in Gemini every 12 years, for a year. It's in Gemini now. It just went in a week ago.
Uh-huh.
And it's approaching your moon. It's going to be there in 2 months. So what's happening with that, 2 months will pass, and then you're going to realize you're going to be so thankful for taking that time, and so more thankful for all the people that surround you. Even if they challenge you, you're going to see that they're a blessing in disguise. You're going to go through an awakening, which I think is going to be really awesome.
I feel it happening already. It's been sort of three steps forward, one step back. Just now I'm feeling a little pulled back, but I've been feeling a lot of stuff open up, if that makes any sense. Oh.
Yeah. Well, you suffer from some anxiety, and you probably have had that pretty strong for the last week or two. But that's passing,
too. Just recently, yes.
Yep.
I'm not always
that's
so
That's a very short cycle. Yeah, it's a very short cycle for you. And I think it's because you are so responsible, you're usually not the kind of person that's going to put aside your work. Okay? And so it's a different passage for you, and so that's what's causing the anxiety. And I think that sometimes you may be taking what other people are saying or how they're looking at you in a way that... Mm-hmm. Because you feel a little guilty. So you're thinking, oh, no, they probably think this about me.
There's a part of me like today, I just am going to drop everything and go to the beach. Like, there's a part of me that was like, I just need to go off by myself, be in nature, let everything go a little bit, and let things revamp, and then I'll be able to just move forward with more focus. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
So I just need to let myself do it and let go.
Exactly. I think you're definitely riding the right train here. You know, and
to just like
and
trust
gonna,
that
right.
I can still pick up on everything at the end of the month.
And you probably with a much more perfect attitude and much more clarity.
Yeah, so it's okay to like take it a little slow right now.
It's okay.
You're
I won't
so
tell.
Sweet. And can I ask one last question? I had been planning on doing an opening at my studio, a sort of open studio event to get back in the swing. Okay. And originally I was going to do it for my birthday, and then something has been telling me, okay, yes, you thought to do it before people go away for the summer, but I might need to wait a little on that.
Well, I would definitely
am I right?
I think I would definitely do it after Venus goes direct. And I'd like you to do it when Venus is kissing your sun, and I'm going to tell you the date. Hold on a second.
Oh, thank you. I've been...
Yeah, I want to see when Venus
I've been sort of hemming and hawing about a date.
Yeah. Okay. It looks like it would be the weekend of July 22nd, which is my birthday, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday.
July 22nd, because what happens is on that day, Venus is kissing your sun sign. Venus is all about art. The sun is how you identify yourself. That's the perfect day for your opening.
Okay. So I'm going to do it then and not worry that
do it that weekend. I'd do it the whole weekend.
Away.
I'd have the grand opening stretch out the whole weekend if I could, if I were you.
Oh, that's a great idea, because I've been meaning to do this for a while.
Great.
And that gives me a little time. You're an angel.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome so much. You have a great weekend.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, this is the Illumination Station, and I'm Aphrodite North, and we're having a lot of fun tonight doing some readings for people. They're trying to deal with all the celestial changes that are going on and wanting to know when they can launch. I think everybody's been getting a little bit impatient, at least in one facet of their life. And so a lot of those barriers or those delays are going to be lifting in the next few weeks and stuff. So get ready to run. So I think I'm going to go ahead and take our next caller. Good evening. This is the Illumination Station. How can I help you?
Hi, this is Lanise.
Say your name again for me.
Lanise.
Okay. And what can I do for you tonight?
Hi, I'd like to see what's going on with me for my birthday.
Okay. When's your birthday?
July 5th.
And what year?
1963.
63?
Correct.
And what time were you born?
9:56 a.m.
Ooh, I love those exact birth times. And where were you born?
In Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee?
Correct.
Correct. You know that there's a Memphis, Alabama, Florida, Texas?
You know,
really
I saw that on an astrological site, and I've never heard of either of those.
No, me neither, until I have to plug it in the computer, then it gives me the list.
I thought that was some kind of just something they had written down, but I guess it's true.
It's very true. And what question did you have for me tonight?
Well, just what do you see that stands out significantly that I need to know concerning, I guess, health?
Concerning what?
My health, anything going on.
Oh, your health, okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Take a look at that.
Or anything that's prominently sticking out that I may need to be aware of.
Do you still live in Memphis?
I do.
I do.
Okay. You know, you have three major planets sitting on your Virgo rising, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the Virgo rising energy has to do with what you assimilate. Okay, like it rules, for instance, the function of assimilating nutrients through the bowel, through the intestines. Okay, it also has to do with everything you read, everything you hear, and the people that are around you on a day-to-day basis, where you can absorb some of their energy. By the way, okay.
Wow.
You are a Cancer sun, and so you are very sensitive. You're a very intuitive person, and because of the planets that have been moving through Gemini, this is a time when you can have everything from allergic reaction to your stomach talking to you. You can be snoring more than normal. I'm sorry. But that's the kind of energy I'm getting. Now, how strong is your immune system? Is your immune system strong?
I would think so. I haven't had any immune system-related things. It's just been this nervous energy.
Right. So you got to remember that Gemini is the air sign ruled by Mercury, and Virgo is the earth sign ruled by Mercury. So if you're over-processing and if you're having anxiety, that's exactly right, but this cycle's not going to last forever. That's the good news.
I've felt like I've been going crazy.
Yep, And it's probably been affecting your sleep patterns too, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And what's going to happen now, the sun is getting ready to move out of Gemini in 4 days. Okay, it's going to go into Cancer. So the sun's going to leave there. But Venus, the planet of love, is retrograde right now in Gemini. It's going to go direct on the 27th, and then it's going to take a few weeks to move forward and move through Gemini and then on into Cancer. So for the next 5 weeks, because Venus is the planet of love, love yourself enough to shut off your life a little bit. Get into your quiet. Get into a meditation. You know, take a long bath. You know, do things that help to ease the anxiety. Okay? Also, look at
that's
the food. Look at what you're eating as far as food, too. Now, because most people take certain things to stimulate them throughout the day, whether they have a cup of coffee or they eat an orange, okay? And again, the timing of that is kind of important, because if you're already in an anxious state and you put something into your body to stimulate it, because you're feeling both tired and anxious at the same time, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So just be careful. You're better off to try and do things like juices or little smoothies that are very good for you to give you a little sugar boost. I try and stay away from things that are concentrated, you know, like a chocolate bar or coffee, because I think it's going to make it a little bit more exaggerated. And you only need to do this for a few weeks, but I think you're going to find you will sleep better. You will feel a lot less like, you know, you have to go and walk out of a room, because that's probably how you've been feeling lately. But I don't think this is anything long-lasting. Now, Jupiter's going to be in Gemini all year, but Jupiter is more of a planet of process than it's a planet of event. It is going to allow you to think and multitask and do all that stuff, but itself, it is not a trigger. Now, I'm going to warn you that because the new moon is coming up, the moon's going into Gemini actually late tonight, early tomorrow morning, and because of that, for the next 2.5 days, the moon is going to be adding its energy in Gemini into the mix. So for the next 2.5 to 3 days, if I were you, you really do need to just say, okay, I got to take a break and walk away from whatever is stressing you in that moment and then kind of walk back into the situation. But it's going to be a little bit intense for those few days, and then it should calm down a little bit. Okay?
So Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, and Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
Not even so much Tuesday. Tuesday's pretty much passed. But I can see where that could happen because you have so many mutable squares going on in your chart right now. Because usually you're like the Energizer Bunny, aren't you?
Yes, but since February, everything changed, and I don't eat sugar, I don't do caffeine, I don't do gluten, and I've lost 44 pounds.
Wow.
It's just been just a whirlwind. I've been real particular about my health. I had heart palpitations.
Okay, well, what's happening then? Again, so you lost the weight pretty fast, okay? You've made a lot of very constructive and good changes. So your glandular system has not had the ability to adjust.
Okay.
And that's, again, all about the assimilation process, because you've got to remember that all the glands work together in the body. One gland secretes, the other gland picks up that particular item and then secretes and all that. So everything from your pancreas to your pituitary is probably trying to find its new balance, too. This might be a natural process because of all the wonderful things you've been doing, and you're probably detoxing, too.
Yes. I mean,
have you been to
just,
see the doctor? Have you been to see a nutritionist?
Yes. What happened was I went to the doctor, and my blood pressure was up a little bit, and they wanted me to go on medication, and I decided I'm not doing that. I kind of intuitively felt like something was going on. It was just a regular GYN appointment. And I just stopped everything. I started drinking canned gin water, alkaline water, no sugar, and just did all this. My weight came off, and I really didn't want all the stuff I was doing anymore. And I was wondering, you know, what prompted me to do that, because I wanted to do it, and I did it to get healthier, but it's like I got this inner strength to do all of that, but at the same time I got weak and I lost weight, and I was having heart palpitations, and I was thinking, well, maybe that's menopause. I had an EKG that was normal, but I'm now just beginning to feel like I'm going to be okay again.
Yeah, and I think your body just had to adjust. Your hormone system had to adjust, because you actually started this in February when Neptune moved into Pisces for the first time in 165 years.
Well,
and it's forming a beautiful trine to your Mercury, which I think that what you did is you just did something to really be kind to yourself, and I think out of it's going to come a lot more creativity, and you're going to start to feel really good about yourself, And I think that your psychic stuff even is going to come in stronger because your body is going to be so much more in balance.
Mm-hmm. And I got really afraid, too. I got very, very afraid about everything.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, you went through a lot of changes very quickly. Yeah.
But I'm feeling better now. I'm feeling more normal and like myself, and the fear is leaving. So I was just wondering what was it all for? Because I've never been through that before.
Well, I think you're going to be embracing a new well-being, and I think you're going to see a remarkable difference over even just the next 3 weeks. So I'd hang in there with that.
Okay.
And I'm
okay.
Glad you called in tonight, and keep me posted.
Okay, I will.
All right, God bless.
Thank you. I enjoy your show.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
This is the Illumination Station, and I think I have time to take one more caller before we have our guest. Good evening. This is the Illumination Station. How can I help you?
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. And what's your name?
Mary Lee.
How cute.
And I want to tell you, your show is fabulous.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You are so great. You are such an excellent astrologer.
Well, thank you. So when is your birthday?
May 24th, 1945.
And what time were you born?
4:38 p.m. Daylight saving time in Chicago.
Chicago. The Windy City.
Right now it's the hottest city.
Oh, you're still there, huh?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Now, is it daylight savings time or wartime?
Well, it was actually wartime. Where you have to
okay. All right. I just want to make sure I'm on the same page. Okay.
2240 Libra rising.
Yeah, Libra rising, Scorpio moon, and that cute little Gemini sun at 3 degrees.
What I was curious to know about is now that Jupiter is moving into Gemini and it's going through my eighth house, it's going to hit my sun and Uranus. What do you
yes. Well, Jupiter, the planet of good fortune and abundance, is a very interesting planet because it also rules over indulgence, okay? Too much of a good thing, if you will. But the nice thing about Jupiter going over your sun, usually what it does is it magnifies everything in your life, all the things you identify with and all the things you choose not to identify with. And you're going to feel that first, okay? It's going to be passing over your sun soon, within the next month, actually the next 6 to 7 weeks. But because of that, Jupiter sitting on your sun, this can make you feel very fortunate about certain things. And it can also make you choose things that do bring you out, that do magnify the goodness that you have within. It's also going to be trining Neptune in your natal chart when it passes over your sun, because you've got that trinatally, okay?
Right.
That's going to stimulate your imagination. It's going to allow you to maybe forgive and forget certain things that you haven't been able to up till now, because Jupiter only makes this passage every 12 years. Now, when Jupiter hits Uranus in your chart, usually what happens is there can be sudden opportunities to really kind of come out of hiding, if you will, okay? Not only to liberate yourself, but to liberate others, you know, through your strong mental focus. What do you do for work?
Well, actually, I'm a light worker, a healer.
Yes.
And
because Gemini also rules the hands, very much so. So I'm sure that you put a lot of energy through those hands of yours. And I do feel that Jupiter can really bring you out a lot to other people, more than you've experienced in the past this year.
You know, I wanted to ask you a question. Because of that natal aspect with the sun trining Neptune and Neptune ruling my fifth house, do you think I could win something with that?
You could win something, yes, because the fifth house also does rule gambling. But you could also have love. Which would you rather have, money or love?
Well, how about a man with money?
I knew you were going to say that because you're a Gemini. You see both sides of the question. I love it.
Right.
That's great.
Typical Gemini, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, like Saturn, too. Saturn is basically retrograde right on top of your ascendant right now. And that is really good because it gives it tells me that people are going to be really seeing your integrity and the way that you do approach your healing gifts as well, okay? It's a really nice energy that you have going on here. Yes, I suppose I could tell you, yeah, you could, you know, you could gamble, but
I
don't know.
I have a progressive moon sitting on my seventh house couch, too.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
I know I got lots of going on here.
You got lots going on there. All right, let's take a look at that. I'm looking at your secondary progressed, Chicago. And you've got some major stuff going on here. Yeah, you do. You really want love, don't you?
I want what?
Love.
Oh, sure. Libra rising, story of my life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in your progressed chart, Venus is squaring Jupiter. Venus is in Gemini, squaring Jupiter and Virgo in here. And you not only want love, you want friendship. You want somebody you can really share your ideas and your thoughts and your aspirations with. You really need the whole enchilada, as they say.
Very true. I want to be very metaphysical and very spiritual.
Yes, exactly. But you do have Saturn in your ninth house, and because of that, you are really destined to be a teacher. Okay, to demonstrate for others. Are you an ordained minister already?
No.
Okay. It might be something you might want to consider.
I never thought of that.
Because your Saturn in the ninth indicates that you could teach people, you could do a lot of public speaking, you could basically go to the healing places and give seminars. I just think it might be a nice addition because your Saturn is in such perfect trine to your moon in Scorpio that you can see into people. You not only hear what they say, you hear what they don't say. Kind of sense kind of what they need in the moment. You just have that innate ability, which is really precious.
It's been a gift, I think, really.
Yes, it is. I'm so happy you called in tonight.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure. Like I said,
all right. Well, listen, you have a blessed night. And check in with us. Let us know how you're doing.
All right. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. This is the Illumination Station, and our first hour is past. And for the second hour of our show, we're having a special guest, Kanda Wozniak. She's an incredible woman. She has done a lot. She does coaching, guided meditation. She's a published author. She's an incredible artist. She's an ordained minister. She does it all. She does workshops. And she's a delightful woman, and I'm very, very happy to invite her to our show tonight.
Thanks, Aphrodite. It's delight.
Hi, Kanda. How are you doing?
To be here. I'm doing great. Thanks.
I'm delighted to have you. Jacqueline, for some reason, wasn't able to sign in with me tonight, so I've been doing this show solo, which I really miss her. She's so fabulous. You know, she's always got some great impressions as well. But I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Thank you.
I'd love you to take this opportunity to tell people a little bit about your path, how you got started, and how all these beautiful gifts that you have flowered. Just amazing.
Well, thanks. And I hope at some point we'll get a chance. I sent you my chart info. I'm hoping we'll get a chance.
Oh, I have looked at your chart, and it is amazing.
You might have some clues already to that that I'll share with your audience.
Okay.
I got started super early because I like to draw and paint and was basically an innately inspired meditator from the get-go and found beauty in nature and in the creative process.
Wow.
And I also had, like everyone, had my challenges, which were really my teachers, which drew me into learning how to shift my state. And that's something that I've been gathering information about really all my life. Well, dating back to very young childhood. So that's what I do for other people. whether it's in one context or another. And when you... Go ahead.
You have a beautiful birth chart.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And it's just an amazing chart, and especially where you've positioned yourself, because you live in Radford, Virginia now, do you not?
I do. I live I live between Christiansburg and Radford. Mm-hmm.
And you do a lot of traveling, too, don't you?
I do.
And you love it.
I love it a lot.
You do. Well, it's so interesting because your chart, you know, all astrologers look at the three power points of astrology first. The sun, which is your radiant light, the moon, which is your reflective light, and the rising star on the east when you took your first breath of life, which is a moment that only God, Goddess, decides. It's your natural soul vibration in this incarnation that you're in right now. And it's really beautiful because both of your lights and your ascendant are on the cusp, which really diversifies your personality. And it gives you so many ways to express yourself, and we can see that when we go to your site, which is KantaBosniak.com, by the way, those that are listening, of all the beautiful ways that you have brought forth your spirituality and your artistic sense, as well as your desire to counsel and help others. It's just amazing. And your chart itself is beautiful because you are absolutely brilliant. I mean, I'm not saying that lightly. Your sun and Uranus, the planet of epiphanies, planet of surprises, the planet that says the aha experience is about to occur, was kissing your son the day you were born. Okay? And because of that, your brilliance comes in a flash often. You know, I'm sure your psychic impressions, boom, 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 they're just there. And that's kind of the way you're, that was a wonderful gift you came in with. And to further develop the gift, because your Mercury, your communication planet is in Gemini, it allows you to be able to teach and learn simultaneously. To have conversation where you could be objective, where you could hear what was said, what was not said, where you could share with people and not take judgment. Just look at the best and the worst of it and try to find a way through and alternatives in thinking, which is really remarkable as well. You have a lot of planetary energy in your eighth house, and because of that, it is good for you to spend some time alone, though, to regroup. Do you find that?
Definitely. Oh, absolutely. I'm in Myers-Briggs. I'm an I. I'm a very E-ish I, but I'm an I. I need my alone time for sure.
Absolutely. Now, your abundance of artistic creativity came in because Jupiter, the planet of good fortune and abundance that magnifies everything it touches, is in Pisces, which is one of the signs of the artist. Sometimes a person does poetry. Sometimes they do art. Sometimes they do music. Sometimes they do all. So you had an abundance of vehicles to choose from to express your creative talent and to demonstrate spirituality. Your Saturn's in Virgo, so you are destined to become a teacher, but also a co-creator. You do coaching as well, don't you?
I do.
I do.
Yes.
And I also do a lot of collaborative work. I collaborate with my son. I collaborate with other artists.
That is just so exciting. Well, let me tell you a little bit of what's going to be going on for you with some of the planets that are changing signs this year. And it's very interesting because in your chart right now, you have a lot of planetary energy in your fourth house, which means it is good for to be very, very much in touch with family, but also extended or spiritual family. So I think you're going to be finding spiritual brothers and sisters you haven't met yet a lot this year.
Sure.
Because Jupiter is transiting that house, and it's bringing your spiritual family home to you, or bringing you home to them, which is really exciting.
How lovely.
It's already trining your south node, and it's going to be trining your Mars, or your planet of work and service, and also the way that you can actively pursue peace, both within yourself and for other people, which is wonderful.
Mm.
So you've got a lot of beautiful things coming up this summer.
Nice.
And yes, and you're going to be going through your Mars return as well. Mars is going into Libra the first week of July, and then what it's going to do is it's really going to be wonderful for your own personal meditations. So if you have an opportunity to indulge yourself in a retreat where you don't have to work, you'll probably be very, very happy.
You bested me there, Aphrodite.
I know.
that Pennsylvania Dutch thing. I have to watch that.
Yes, but it could be absolutely wonderful for you. And I do think that, again, there's going to be some really interesting avenues that are going to be opening up for you to travel even farther and for longer periods of time than you have been.
Nice.
And I think it's going to come to you by someone you have already done work for, because your reputation pretty much speaks for itself. And I think that this person's going to contact you about some things that are going to be going on and wanting to involve you. And I think that's going to come in sometime around mid-July for you, and I think it's going to be very, very exciting.
Mm. Nifty. Mm-hmm. Like it a lot.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, we have Kanta Bosniak on the line with us. If you'd like to ask her a question or share some of your soul's journey with her, I've had a couple artist healers calling in tonight, Kanta. It's been pretty exciting. It's almost like we could feel the vibe that you were coming. But our call-in number is 213-286-6741. So please feel free to call in and talk with her if you would like. So, Kanta, tell us where they can find you, about your website.
My website is my name. It's KantaBosniak.com. K-A-N-T-A is my first name. And my last name is exactly like the country Bosnia, with a K on the end. And they can also find, they can find my books and audio CDs on Amazon.
Excellent. Now, do you have a tour planned where you're going to be available for people? Do you have things going on this summer that you'd like to talk about?
I'm going to be, I want to be sticking a little bit close to home, at least as far as I know, this summer. And then I'm going back to Texas in the fall to Unity of North Houston. I was at Unity of San Antonio last fall and was also in Florida this year as well. I do a lot of speaking and workshops at Unity churches and other New Thought centers and holistic centers. And the abundance triggers workshop and the talk triggering your divine abundance is something that I've been doing now since the book was published. And really, in some ways, I did similar kind of a prototype of this, or an earlier version of this, as sacred space workshops at Unity churches back many, many years. It's the, of all of the workshops I do, it's the one that people seem to absolutely love and bring away tools that they can use, which really pleases me. And so the book publication, it really gave me a way to share this with more people and really put in more comprehensive information than I could share in a 2-hour workshop. So it's been very gratifying for me to get it out there. And I really, honestly, I feel, because it has to do with shifting our state, really, it will. I mean, it's I think we get that happy is the launch pad for creating what we want in life. And I think that very few people actually know how to create mastery in that, the happiness part. I mean, I think we get the happy part is necessary, but then how do we do that? Where's the happy button? And I think that that's a worthy endeavor. In fact, it's probably the most important endeavor. You know, as it says in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. It really isn't just about using God tricks to get stuff. I think that's a wrong path to for people to take. I think it's limiting, and I think it misses the point. I really think that the abundance is in the heart and mind, and then the rest of it comes out of that.
Great. Well, what would I do if I wanted to access my happy button?
There are Well, I think, you know what, it goes back to when you were talking about my chart. It was interesting for me because it gave me an insight on why I was so well prepared to do this work, because I really do see many, many perspectives. And so there, for every person, we all have our own array. We all have our own toolbox to create according to how we think, what is our primary modality, you know, be it auditory, visual, kinesthetic. And, you know, of course, we're not all just on one channel. You know, we have our own experiences. We have our own inner mythology, so to speak. So your happy buttons are going to be different from mine. And though I think there are some common denominators. So the first place to start when we feel stressed, I think most of us, when we feel stressed, we're pinched up, way high. Our energy is too high up, right up in the head, sometimes even perched above the head almost, you know, and the mind is racing. And so I think the very first thing to do, first aid, so to speak, is bring yourself into the body. Bring yourself into the body with breath. Feel if you're standing, feel your feet on the ground, on the soil, on the pavement, whatever you're touching. Feel it. Feel that connection with the earth. And if you're sitting, feel your butt on the chair. Feel your butt on your car seat. Feel your hands on the steering wheel. Be present.
Right.
That's the very first thing.
Would be good. Okay.
And then after that, using visual, kinesthetic, and auditory, using your senses. So, what when you see it makes you feel good?
Right.
We all have those things, and I think you know, some common denominators would be photographs of loved ones. Why do we have those things? We have those things because when we see them, we feel happy. We feel the love that we have for our loved ones. We feel their love for us, and it's an instant stage shifter. Why do we have trophies? Why do we have certificates? You know, most of us who are professionals have an ego wall of certificates. And, you know, it's... I think that it's, again, it's not about accumulating the stuff. The benefits of that, those certificates and degrees and things, are that when we look at them, we remember that we're competent. We remember that we have done things. And so it follows that we can do the things that we want to do now. And we remember that we've received help in doing those things, and support in doing those things. And so connection is an abundance trigger. It's not an immediate sense trigger, but connection with our loved ones and connection with our resources, mentors and things like this. So the visuals can be a little bit more detailed. I'll give you an example. I have a dear friend who is an investment counselor for a major company. And her work is very fast-paced. She's connected with her computer and her phone, and things move very quickly. And yet she's a very deep and spiritual person, and her natural essence is that sort of deep, slow beauty. That underground river of joy is in her very, very strongly. And she has turtles around her. She has turtle earrings. She has turtle statuary in her office. She has turtle art. It's not the only art she has, but she's, you know, the turtle is well represented, we'll put it like that. And that's an abundance trigger for her. It's eyes on the prize, not necessarily a tangible earthly prize, but it's a spiritual prize. And of course, you know, we can use abundance triggers for specific things that we want to create, and I think people understand that sort of intuitively. That's why they put their thin picture on their refrigerator.
Right.
So that's the visual, and, you know, there's more about that. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do with that, you know, and you can really get... you can get complex with it, or you can stay simple with it in not only two-dimensional things like creating vision boards and treasure maps and things like this, and also altar making, whether it's one or two objects that you kind of make an agreement with yourself. When I see that thing, it means X to me. It means whatever you want it to mean. Or a full-out, you know, kind of altar installation, as I've also done, you know, as an artist. And as a professional person, I've been commissioned to do those, too. So, you know, that's a little bit touching on the visual. And I think that the kinesthetic, we're talking about feeling. And that's a pretty broad thing because it includes tactile. When you feel fur, when you stroke the, you know, your furry kitty cat, or you feel the feeling of velvet, or you know, your squishy comforter or blanket. I think these things are they transport us from whatever we may be feeling to what we want to be feeling. I mean, who doesn't immediately have a sense of coziness? You know, when you've got a squishy comforter around you, probably this is a little out of season here, but, you know, I live in the mountains. You know what it's like here, Aphrodite. And, you know, honestly, there are many nights that I've slept in, you know, my home county of Floyd, where I've needed a blanket even in the wintertime, and I like that. I like that feeling. I think most people like that, which is one reason I keep my office cool, so that people can put a blanket on when they have an appointment with me if they want to. You know, that feeling of being covered and tucked in is an abundance trigger. Reminds us of being swaddled. It reminds us of being held by our mom. So you kind of get the idea where I'm going with this.
Yes, I do.
You
yes,
can have
I do.
Fragrance abundance triggers. You know, for me, I'm a perfume geek. I have way
I
too many bottles of perfume, and, you know, I think a girl can never have too much perfume. You know, and Each one of these fragrances, you know, takes me into a different zone, and I like to play with that. And of course, incense. I've discovered an incense which my Indian clients tell me smells exactly like a temple in India. It's Song of India, by the way. You can get it on Amazon. While you're buying one of my books.
There you go.
And it's just lovely. I just absolutely love this fragrance, and it absolutely shifts my state, and I use it to help other people shift theirs. Cranberry sauce, certain kinds of tastes, you know, so you have your gustatory as well as your olfactory triggers. You know, I laughingly call there's a sandwich that I've jokingly linked it with prosperity consciousness. I call it the loaves and fishes, and it's a 6-inch tuna sub at Subway.
I love it.
So I have a dear friend. I you know, I say to her, "Well, I'm going for loaves and fishes now." And she knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I just tell people I'm allergic to two things: tuna fish and cashews.
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah. See now. Okay, so now you're answering your own question. What would I think you asked me at the get-go, what would I do? And see, cashews is not necessarily an abundant. I like cashews, but, it wouldn't be in my particular toolbox where it is in yours, and that's important. So there is a kind of workbook in terms of the book, Abundance for Years. There's a workbook kind of developing your own toolbox component to the book to help people really personalize their own set of triggers. So those are some of the, I think also nature, that would be a kind of kinesthetic. It's really all three because, you're in the feeling of nature. You've got the feeling of fresh air and sun on you, and you look around and you see beauty and you hear birds singing. And so it's like that's a full tilt kind of abundance trigger for pretty much everybody. Auditory. This is something that's very personal, and there are some universal components to it, too. The universal is ultra-slow music will slow down our brain waves. And when we're tense, our brain waves go more quickly, or even just when we're in a normal conscious state where we're, say, in a beta, where we're in the place where we're going to be balancing our checkbook or strategizing in some way. I mean, these things are important to do. Those people who don't have a good, healthy connection with their left brain are, not usually very effective in the world or even pleasant to be with,
Right, okay.
There's too much of a good thing sometimes. When we slow down our brain waves, we can get into an alpha state which feels nice, which feels spiritual, and a deeper theta state, which is really a meditative state. And the easiest way to do that is listen to ultra-slow music. And so I use that as a bridge with clients and also in workshops to help people slow down into a guided meditation state. So, things like Liquid Mind. The Liquid Mind CDs are wonderful. And, the collaboration that I referred to before, my son is kind enough to help his mom out with trance music. It's not his music. His music is more indie, folk rocky, with some soulful in there, too. But
okay.
For me, for my guided imagery CDs and audio downloads, he makes trance music, and so that's really important. And then you can have times when you want to lift yourself up and energize yourself. So relaxation is a kind of abundance. Taking yourself into relaxation is a certain kind of triggering that we would want to do sometimes. And sometimes we want to do the other. We want to bring ourselves up into a more energized state. So, and that's where it really does get personal because, for some people that might mean, it might mean rap music or it might mean hip-hop or it might mean lots of different things. For
so
me, it's all
about. So what you're trying to tell me is it's okay if I put on Lady Gaga and dance around my living room?
Exactly. Hey, that's exactly right. If you like Lady Gaga, then she's an abundance trigger for you. One of your auditory abundance triggers would be that, and you probably have some ones for relaxation as well. For me, Chaka Khan or Sting. The things that take me into a sort of poetic state would be like Sting and take me into creativity. And I think your listeners have each one has their own. Or his or her own auditory abundance triggers. It's a soundtrack of your life, and I think it's important to develop a toolbox of visual, kinesthetic, and auditory abundance triggers as a sort of second string after, you get the breath, and you've got these sense triggers. it's really important to have a toolbox, you know. And then you get into sort of a deeper place. That stuff's all first aid, and then sort of secondary first aid. And then you get, what do I like to do? What is fun for me? And now you're really in the personalizing part, because what you actually like to do and what really pleases you, and when you do it, you feel fabulous, it's going to be different from what I like to do. So I actually suggest to people really actually write these things all down, because we, most of us have a plan, or certainly organizations have a plan anyway, for what we would do in case of fire or flood or kind of emergency. And I think that those kinds of eventualities may never happen, but the pain body does knock on the door. That does happen. It happens for every single person. Even the Dalai Lama has tapped to that. You know, he like everyone else, has a negative mind, and he's shared that, and I love him for it. So anyway, it's good to have a plan for what you're going to do when the pain body comes knocking. You can look right at your journal, your abundance triggers journal, and say, okay, boom, 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 well, pick something from that menu. So, you know, what do you like to do? I call it the short list. Developing one is a good idea. And then going deeper, still, we're really going down the rabbit hole now. What's your story? You know, I think we can use story, our stories and other people's stories, as inspiration. You know, so I think we all have those moments, or most of us hopefully have some moment when things went well for us, when we accomplished something. And so we can draw resources from our own lives, from our own stories, and we can also draw resources from other people's stories. I think that biography is a wonderful thing to draw from. I've always loved other people's stories. You know, I think that there are archetypes that weave through. The stories that we're most attracted to tell us what archetypes are important for us to be using now. It really isn't about the person necessarily so much as it is about the archetypes inside, what attracts us to that person. And just like it isn't about the stuff, it's about the quality of experience. It's about up-leveling consciousness. So when you find yourself attracted to a certain iconic person, whether the person is living or, you know, an historic person, I think it's useful to realize that that person is a mirror. It's not really about that person. It's about what quality are we being energized by? Because it's really about us. It's about what's in us that we want to develop. So story is useful. And I think when we feel low or out of energy or out of juice, it's useful to remember those stories of other people that attract us. And it's also very, very important to remember our own accomplishments. You know, the ones that really sing out to us, that we're really happy about, whether it's being a parent or having created something or having learned something. Those accomplishments are not necessarily important in themselves, but they really just give us the message, yes, I can. So that's useful. And then service. Service is probably, I'm going to take the probably out and commit full tilt here.
Okay.
I think service is the ultimate abundance trigger. I'm going to put it up with meditation because I think it is a form of meditation. I don't think there's only one way to meditate. And I think that service is right up there. I think in particular, service can actually be an anti-abundance trigger if we're doing the wrong service. If it's really not ours to do, it can be draining and de-energizing. So I think you need to, you know, I think it's useful to ask yourself, is this mine to do? Because something is a good thing doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good thing for us. And so,
right.
Yeah. So I think that it's useful to really go in there and dig and intuit and dream and get a Aphrodite North chart, you know, to help or visit a coach like me and really just begin to get in there and, you know, connect with our intuition and in our inner guidance about what is ours to do? Because that, when we connect with that, our whole entire life changes, and we kind of like shift ourselves up into a higher level of life, where, you know, life itself becomes an abundance trigger every time you open your eyes in the morning. It's like, oh goody, what do I get to do now? And when you
I
when
love
you
that.
Tap into something that you really enjoy doing, every day it has its gifts, even the ones that are more challenging. So that's a little bit about, you know, sort of the array of the toolbox that you can develop for yourself. And I think also it's important to note that while some mastery is about learning to shift your state back to feeling good, back to feeling good, and back to feeling good again and again and again, so that you habituate it, I also think that one of the things that happens, and, you know, one of your guests that was on right before me, one of your callers, talked about making a whole lot of changes in her life, and then she felt depleted, and I think you wisely said to her, you know, well, you've made a lot of changes and dot, dot, dot. And I think that when we do a lot of positive moves forward, we create a kind of safety that allows us to let what isn't happy and beneficial, it's still in our shadow, to come up and be cleared, so that sometimes when we make these big moves forward, we can have a period of time where we need to rest and assimilate what we've learned. And also, there is a detox factor. I mean, there's a detox factor not only physically but spiritually, so that, you know, when that happens, I think that sometimes when a feeling is it needs to flow out of us, it's really actually not. I think part of the wise use of abundance triggers is to know when to use them and when not to. And I think it's useful to use them a lot of the time, because a lot of what doesn't feel good is just a bad habit of thought,
right,
and emotion. But sometimes when you're detoxing, I think it's important to just let that, acknowledge a feeling and let it go, run its natural course, and, you know, experience it and bless it and forgive it all at the same time. You know, so,
exactly.
You know, so in that regard, you know, tapping can be helpful, you know, the EFT can be helpful, but still, you know, just rest and lay down and rest, and if you're in a grief process or whatever it may be, let the emotional wave run its course. I think anger is a little easier to channel than sadness. I mean, anger, you can paint, you can dance, you can walk, or whatever you might want to do. I think sadness, sometimes you just need to lie down and let it flow out. But so the deepest work of abundance triggers, well, you know what, I'm not going to judge it. I think that the state shifting is deep work about mastery, and I also think the other deep work is just acceptance and compassion for yourself. I, what comes up for me as I hear myself sing these things is, you know that poem by Rumi, The Guest House?
Yes.
I don't have it memorized, but he basically is saying every feeling is a guest, and every guest is worthy, and you embrace the guest. You know, every feeling that crosses over your threshold is something to be valued and honored, and it's your teacher. And even as you're learning to shift yourself back to joyous, it's also important not to deny the other feelings. And when you let those things run their course with compassion and love, it will always take you to joy. It just happens. I think that, you know, I do grief work with people, and I think it's important. I mean, it's certainly not the only thing I do, but it's one of the things I do. And I think that if you're doing grief, this is, sounds like a silly thing to say, but if you're doing it right, it will take you all the way to joy. It will take you all the way to reinvention of yourself. Who am I now? How can I nourish myself from what I've learned, and then how can I assimilate it, and then where is that taking me now? And there's always joy at the end of that one.
Exactly. How wonderful. I'm so glad we had you on the show. I think you're giving people some wonderful tools. And, of course, the book is called Abundance Triggers, and it's available through Amazon, you said, Kanta?
Yes, it's available through Amazon. I just published a Kindle version of it. So passionate about this book. I just think everyone should have this book issued at birth in their native tongue. It should be.
I love that.
So I'm actually working on getting some translations done. There's someone translating it into Spanish right now, and I'm seeking translators in additional other languages.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Is it on audio also?
Well, there's a related audio, which is right now in CD form, and there will be a downloadable in a little bit. And that is, it's not the book, but it's a companion to the book. It's actually, when people do a workshop with me, they're getting some of the material from the book, and they're also getting the guided imagery that, or a form of it that's on the CD, as well as some other things. So the CD is a guided imagery into kind of a shamanic power object retrieval, if you will, of those visuals, and as well, you know, the kinesthetic and auditory, but primarily the visual symbols that you can use to help you stay eyes on the prize and stay focused and stay moving forward towards your worthy goal, whatever that may be. So that's the audio version.
Great. Wow. That's excellent. Now, the book itself, though, has, like, the workbook part you were talking to us about earlier,
It has
right?
the workbook part, and it also has, as you move through the book, it will give you layers and a rich array of abundance triggers, some of which are just right there for you and suggested, and some of which they're questions and visualizations and creative play exercises that would help you create your own personalized ones. And I also share some of my own stories, which I hope will be abundance triggers for readers, which are absolutely amazing experiences that I've been privileged to have, um, of of just wild, I mean, curl your hair stories of creation and blessings. I think that other people's stories, as I said before, can be helpful. And I honestly think that even as some of these things were happening, I'm saying happening to me, and I think we co-create, but just for, you know, the sake of moving forward in the conversation, as these things were happening to me, I thought, wow, that's not just for me.
That's something to share with others, yes.
Yeah.
An active lesson.
Yeah, chapter three is pretty darn juicy.
Wow. I'm excited now.
Some of the stories I have shared in YouTube clips. There's the talk, Unity of San Antonio has a couple of the stories. There's a slightly more extended talk, Unity of Gainesville. But there's much more in the book than I could do in a 20-minute talk at a church. You know, the book is just full of goodies.
Right. Yeah, it's more like an introduction, and then they can go and really get it, examine it, and apply it. That's the beauty
exactly.
of it, but the way you
exactly.
created it, because they can apply it so easily, and they understand that they have choices. And I think that's why one healing doesn't fit all. You know, I mean, I've been doing what I do for 37 years, so I have seen a lot of people, you know, coming and going with many different stories and many unique situations I can't even imagine going through myself. But I'm always there to listen and try and help them sort it out and see what the options are, because that is what allows you not to be stuck.
Yes, one healing is, it doesn't fit all. And you know, I guess the last piece, and it's close to the end of the book too, the last piece I want to share in terms of abundance triggers is meditation. I have a basic how-to for, you know, sort of Eastern version, yogic version of meditation. And I also cover other kinds and variations, which, of course, are just scratching the surface. I think it's really important for people to know that there is not only one way to meditate. And, you know, because people get really crazy about that and self-critical and self-judgmental and hopeless. And it's really, it's a vast cornucopia of whatever it is that really draws you, go there. That's where to go. And that's
this is so true, because many years ago, when I first started on my path, of course, as you know, I'm an ordained minister, and I was ordained to the Alliance of Divine Love, but I did my internship at the Unity Church in Fort Pierce under Bob Marshall. I was there for a year, and that's what I did, is my internship with him. And one of my duties there was to take care of the bookstore. I had to learn to do everything a minister did, everything from the accounts receivable, you know, to library, cleaning the pews at night, giving my sermons, all that stuff that you do. And I was in the bookstore one day, and this book kept calling me from the shelf. And I'd had a heck of a time trying to meditate, really, because I'm such a high-energy person.
Yeah.
And stuff. And it kept calling me. And finally I went over, I said, okay, who are you? And I grabbed the book off the shelf, and I have that book in my library to this day. And the name of the book was called The Black Butterfly. And the essence of the book was that meditation is not what you think. And the advice of the author was that you can dance to your being danced, you can sing to your being sung, you can chant to your being chanted. The whole idea is to achieve nirvana. And boy, I ended up singing praises in my shower, I was chanting, I was singing stuff from church. And, you know, it was so wonderful because it took all that pressure off me, because I'm the kind of person, I'll sit and be pensive.
Exactly.
You know?
It has to be fun.
Exactly.
Yes, and I know you. I know you in real life. We're not only cyber friends, we're radio friends. And I think we also share, we're both kind of girly girls, and we both share that we like clothes. And I think that can be an abundance trigger. I think you wear your abundance triggers, you know, on your body. It's a kind of expression. It's a joyous expression. It's theater. It's life. Any way that you can express joy, be in joy, that's what to do.
I have so many boxes of costumes from all the events I've done over the years downstairs in my cell. You have no idea. But I always love to do costume and dress up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was my favorite thing as a little kid was the costume box.
Well, we're almost at the top of the hour, and I wanted to just, you know, have them go ahead and give them more of your contact information. Now, do you coach people on the phone, too, or do you do it mostly
in person?
I do. Oh, great. Okay.
At least half my coaching practice, if not more, is on the phone. And I can do Skype if people would like to do that. I have an in-office practice and certainly a telephone practice. My contact information is... my website is kantabosniak.com, KantaBosniak.com. People can find me on Facebook. Put in my name and you'll find me. I also have an author page on Facebook. You're welcome to like that if you feel inspired. And I welcome Facebook friends. You know, love that.
Exactly. And you can go to her site, and there's ways to contact her for a private appointment. And you can see also on her site the other books and the other things that she's created to help you on your path of enlightenment, which is really awesome. I'm Aphrodite North, and I can be reached at 540-400-0110. I take a couple weeks off because I was traveling, but usually Saturday, either from 5 to 6 or 5 to 7, we have our radio show, like we have tonight, the Illumination Station. I'm always pleased to accept private clients, and my friend Jacqueline, who couldn't be with us tonight, the best number to reach her at is 772-286-2720. She's also a remarkable astrologer and a great teacher, good friend of mine for many years. And the wonderful thing I love about doing this show is because I really want people to come out and highlight their gifts and share them with people and allow them to grow and become anew. So until next week, good night.